It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. He's pounded
down, loaded up. Welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show was brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939.
Long time ago.
Alabama Pipe and Supply.
Ooh, I know that place.
Yeah. Good people.
Good guys. Good people.
Competition Head Service on Butler Drive.
Oh, yes. Great people.
Dewey Miller been there forever.
Yep.
And Ed's Seafood Shed. We'll be back again. So
yes, all that is in the works.
Yep.
We will all be surprised.
But
we know it's working because I know they're already negotiating with contractors. So.
Oh yeah. But I assume everybody has noticed that it's a little warm outside right now.
Yeah.
I know this past weekend was nice and warm.
That's going to hurt our cars more too. You know, we just made that full freezing weather swing to the cold weather swing or to the warm weather swing.
Yeah, I tell you, it's we were at the racetrack this weekend and I was not prepared for the temperature. Did not drink enough because I was cramping up pretty bad Saturday night.
Well,
Sunday,
you know, you've had because that, of you've it. Had that problem before and when I, you were racing.
Yeah, and I've always had that problem, but don't drink enough water apparently.
Yeah.
So that's.
I remember one night they had to pull you out of the car.
Well, almost. I did cramp up during the race. I managed to win the race that night, but it was my legs were so cramped up it wasn't even funny. I don't know how I drove it. Yeah.
Yep.
But I have seen people actually hit the wall out there because they couldn't get their foot off of the gas and onto the brake pedal because their legs are so cramped up.
Oh, but, I know. It's unbelievable, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to do. But, I know we got warm weather here. It's just going to get worse from this point on. Vacation time coming up. We got people going to the beaches. We got people pulling boat trailers and all that kind of campers and all that kind of stuff. Of course, your batteries in your cars, your tires, are just killer on it this time of year with the temperature. Make sure your tires are not old and dry rotted. Make sure they're aired up properly. Make sure they're in decent shape. Not dry rotted. Last thing you want to do is get out there on the interstate in the middle of nowhere and have a tire blow out.
If the tires, let's say a tire's got 5 years on it and it's not dry rotted.
If it's 5 years old, it's time to go.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Even though it's not dry rotted, should we go ahead and call in the dogs and change the tires?
You know, if it's like some of my hot rod stuff, one of my cars has tires on it that some of them are 8 to 10 years old. I usually don't go very far with it.
Yeah.
But the car stays inside, out of the sun.
Well, that'd keep them from dry rotting.
And it's in an environmentally controlled environment. But I'm still going to replace them this summer. Yeah, it's time to make them go away. Nothing wrong with them. Still look brand new.
I'm that way with mine. I've been looking at the date on the tires, and I saw they were about 5 years old. I'm going like, tire looks like it's got 60% of the rubber still on it.
Right.
Tire looks good. It has no drywall cracks or nothing in the sidewalls.
Right.
And, I mean, there's no deterioration or nothing there. But I'm going like,
Is it worth
I don't feel like changing the tires on the
is
side.
Is it worth
road?
Having to stop on the side of the interstate or in the middle of the bayway?
Yeah.
It's gonna blow out in the worst possible place. You know that. Yeah, and that being said, we also have to worry about our trailers. People pull boats all the time.
Yes, I saw two trailers on the side of the highway yesterday.
Yep. Car trailers are notorious for people not changing tires often enough. If you got a car trailer, don't go 5 years with it because it sits more than it does anything else. Most of the time outside, they get dry rotted. And, every 2 to 3 years, if you're going to use it and go far, especially they're overloaded most of the time.
I was thinking about that last night. I was coming back from over in Florida, and I'm looking up ahead of me. It's dust dark. And I said, that looks like a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. That guy's running. That would have a little trailer and them little bitty T90 tires on it, you know, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I'm going, what?
Them little things are getting it.
Yeah, I got upside of him, and he's got an old wooden Stouter built on it.
Right.
You know, with
right.
a 20 Johnson. I'm talking about old Johnson, don't they? You know.
Old school, yeah.
Yeah, and but he's trucking along there at 80 miles an hour. I'm going like, if he loses one of them tires, that damn Stouter built's going all over this interstate.
Yeah, you know, it'd be, you know, good kindling at that point, probably, I guess. But,
like mine was after so many years. I think I had mine 40 years.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's you know, check your tires on your boat trailers and your travel trailers, and you know, check your wheel bearings on the boat. You need to do it at least once a year, if not twice a year. You know, if you're gonna have it, especially in salt water, because you'd be amazed at how much water gets in those bearings, no matter how well they're sealed up in the bearing buddies and all this other kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, how are you on the bearing buddies?
I'm good with it because you can actually push the grease out of the back and keep it under a little bit of pressure, which will help keep the water out of it. But even at that point, you still need to service them.
You know, in the old days, we had wheel bearing grease.
Right.
But now we have different types of wheel bearing grease, and we have synthetic wheel bearing greases. What's your preference? What have you found works?
Well, I mean, you need a good marine wheel bearing grease.
Marine wheel bearing.
Yeah, it's designed to not mix with the water that you get in it, and it kind of lets the water just kind of run out.
So it's not like brake fluid, it's not hydroscopic where it absorbs it.
You know, because you can pull some of these down and it just turns to mud almost when you pull the bearings out.
Yeah.
But if you have a good quality marine synthetic grease in there, it tends to not mix with it.
Okay.
And it still keeps
lubrication. So the bearing doesn't lose its lubricity, as they call it.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's
don't lose its greasiness.
That's right. That's right. You know, and of course, you know, everybody wants to get their air conditioners working. That judging by what I was looking at on our worksheet today, you know, it seems like everybody's either got a starting problem or a air conditioning problem.
Well, you know, and I'm on that list. I think I even talked to you about it. When was I out there? Friday?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that here last week, early part of the week sometime, my air conditioner's not blowing too strong here. What? It's not cold. And then I looked and it was temperature outside. It was like 89 degrees. I said, whoa, wait a minute. It's not supposed to get that cold. You know?
It's getting there, no doubt. You know, of course, yeah, we're in South. Most of us are used to that, you know. You get spoiled to working really well during the 70, 80 degree days, and then when it starts creeping up around 90, 95, 100 degrees, and that sneaks up on you off quick because you sit and let it sit out there in a asphalt parking lot. I'll climb in mine sometimes when it's in the mid-80s, and, you know, the thermometer in my car is reading somewhere in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the upper 90s.
Yeah, it will off of that asphalt.
Yeah, until you get moving and try and get some of that air off of, you know, moving around it. But you know, you got to take all that into account, you know. But the systems nowadays work so much better than what they used to. That used to be a real problem. But the cars, if you'll give them just a couple minutes, they typically will catch up.
Do you recommend dropping your windows down a little bit and changing the air from inside? And
you know, if it's really hot, yeah, it's not a bad idea. You know, go ahead and get a little bit cooler air and get some that really, really, you know, stifling hot air out of it.
Well, the heat's going to rise, so the hot air's going to be right at the top of the car, inside the car, which is where my nose and my breathing is. I sit so high in the seat. But so, you know, I'm about to pass out from temperature.
Yeah. I tell you, it's you know, if you just give it a little bit of a chance to start cooling the car off, they usually work very well.
Now, let me ask you this. I have an opinion, but I want to see what the car doctor says.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in and the car's real hot like that, you're going to turn your air conditioner blower on high, as high as you can get it, circulating the air. So then it starts pulling some of that air back across your evaporator or in your little inside of the car there to cool the air off. But after a few minutes, I found with mine, I drop it down a couple of notches, and I get colder air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you basically let that evaporator cooled just a little bit longer with a little less airflow across it, it's going to get colder.
I've
found that on a lot of our stuff too. You know, it works out.
High speed on the blower is going to move air, but it's going to move the hotter air around, and it'll cool quicker if you. After it runs a little while, go ahead and drop it back a couple of notches.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to convince myself to turn it down when I'm that hot.
I know.
So you
blow,
know,
suck a blow. I'm gonna feel. Yeah. I want to see you.
Yep.
Get in there. I want to hang icicles in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break. We're gonna let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Roll on highway. Roll on. And mama goodbye.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramco, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We got a, text message from Dave from Gulf Shores. What about air-conditioned seats? Still a thing. Well, actually, that didn't actually air-conditioned seats. They were cooled, heated and cooled seats. They had they had fans that actually just blows air through the seat cushion. You know, the seat cushion has holes in it, and so does the cover. It does actually have some kind of crystal that does a chemical reaction that actually does generate some cool air, does not actually condition the seat. I mean, doesn't condition air.
I know the heat, it doesn't have a heating element.
The heating element is definitely a thing.
Yeah, like an old heating pad or a heating blanket. If you ever seen one of those, it's got the little wire running through it.
Yeah, yeah. But the you know, it is still a thing, and depending on the car and the company and all that, they may or may not be offering them right now. I know General Motors is still, you know, on and off a little bit on the heated and cooled seats and steering wheel and several other options.
That goes back to these chips again, doesn't it?
Right, right. I mean, they're figuring out ways to deliver vehicles and not just have them sitting somewhere. Yep.
I don't know how much truth there is to it. The rumor that I heard about Mustangs and the Mustang plant was shutting down their production line because they had 53,000 Mustangs built, and they couldn't deliver them because they didn't have the chips for them.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, they run out of places to park them. It was a problem, you know, and that's kind of what everybody was running into. It's great, go ahead and build and get it close, and then when the chips get there, they do it. The way General Motors has done it, you know, they've tried to go do certain systems that are not vital to the use, you know, the driving of the vehicle, and you know, they'll upgrade that and get them working at a later date. You know, once the chip's available, they'll put it in the module and send the module out, and we'll put it in the car, get it going. So at that point, everything will function. Yeah. But they're selling some cars that have the buttons for the heated and cooled seats or steering wheel, that kind of stuff, that, you know, it's got all the buttons and lights and whistles and all that, but it doesn't work.
I'm sure they know that when they buy it.
The customers are notified when they buy. Yeah. And they're given a small credit for, you know,
that inconvenience.
Right. And, you know, some people, you know, most people are okay. I mean, if they want a new car, they want a new car. And they know that they're going to have to wait just a little while because it's either that or keep driving what you got.
I hear you. Okay.
Because, you know, they just can't get them out there. Yeah.
Unbelievable. But,
Philip, looks like we got a caller. And caller, are you with us? Hello? Caller? Must have lost him. Give us a call back if you got a question. Caller, you with us? Hello?
I think you need to turn the radio down.
Yeah, go ahead. Anyway, give us a call back and turn your radio down when you want to talk, and we'll get you on there. But anyway, we talked a little bit about going to the racetrack this weekend. I want to give my crew a little shout out.
Well, you certainly should.
Yeah, the Pressure Brother team with the 42 Outlaw JJ Day driving won Saturday night.
All right,
we were able to have Miss Jan out there with
fantabulous
us.
Fantabulous crew chief, the cart doctor at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, I was you know, calling shots there, so that was all good. And led wire to wire, had a good night, cars in one piece. And Jerry Goff with the McCarran Day golf team, Jerry did a very good job, won with the truck. So we had a good night. Both there of them finished first and had a good night.
Well, I think Gina had a good night at Mobile International Speedway. They had 69 cars or so, I believe.
She did.
Eight different classes, so they put on a good show and got out of there at a reasonable hour, I would think.
It wasn't too bad. And had, you know, grandstands were reasonably packed in and that. So had a successful night.
Let me tell you inject this in here. You got a caller?
Yeah, we do have a caller.
Go ahead with a caller, and I'll bring my thing up later.
All right. Caller, you with us?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, I almost said you're talking to the one and only Jarhead, but I realized that, you know,
there's a whole bunch of Jarheads.
Hey,
baby,
I got seniority on your butt. Okay.
Great job for an ungrateful master. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me the other day, said, how old are you? And I said, 240s with a 4-foot kicker.
Yeah. So.
guys, I got this question this week, and it comes from a friend of mine.
You ain't got no friends, Jarhead.
Yeah, I got a couple. Well, I count you as one, Tom.
So. Oh, well, okay, I'm a minor friend. Go ahead on, fool.
Gas light is on, or their fuel filler light is on. And what causes it, and how do you prevent it?
Come again now?
Gas light?
The gas light or the fuel filler door is open.
If you can either put gas in it, turn the gas light off, or close the door on the side of the car. I mean, I don't understand what you're asking me.
Does it have both of them at the same time?
What I understand, guys, is when you know how we used to do it when we pump gas, we pump it in, and then we fill it all the way up.
Right.
And then you keep on pumping, and you keep on pumping, and you squeeze that handle.
No.
You can't get no more in there.
No, right.
That don't work.
Supposedly now there's a little canister that this gas will go over into, and it's for I guess for vapor expansion or something like that.
Right.
And but if the gas gets in there, it'll tell you your door is open.
Now, my
F-150, it doesn't even have a gas cap.
Right.
Which I know a lot of people have said.
Good. I know where to get my gas from now.
Because they don't tighten their gas cap up.
Yeah.
This one doesn't even have one.
Right. Well, you know, and packing the fuel tank is not a good idea for a simple fact that you do get liquid fuel off into the purge canister, and you can damage
that's
the purge canister, and it's a charcoal canister and gets in there and it damages it, and then it'll actually let that charcoal get out into the purge lines, and it'll stop up the vents in the tank. It'll clog up the vent lines going to the tank vent, as well as get into the purge line going to the motor, and hold the purge valve open and create leaks, which will make it think that it's the gas cap is not on. You know, a lot of vehicles, when they see a small leak code, it'll put up a message on their check gas cap, which is a lot of times that was the problem if you had a system that had a removable cap. But nowadays, most of your cars don't even have a removable cap. It's just you open the decorative door and there's a hole there that you put the nozzle in, you fill it up, and as you pull it out, it seals back off, and you don't have to worry about that, leaving the cap hanging on the side of the car or going down the road. So you know, packing your fuel tank.
Hopefully, you won't forget to take the fuel filler out before you drive off.
Yeah, the fuel. You know, taking the fuel nozzle with you. Yeah, they can't help you with that one. Yeah, that's
Joe Ed, that's where mine and your problem comes in, babe.
For that, is there, guys?
Yeah, and that one happens from time to time, but that's why they have the quick disconnects on the line fill hoses at the pumps nowadays, so you don't take the whole pump and everything with you. But at least you get the hose.
So your best advice, Kevin, is just put the handle in, click it, let it stick, and when it cuts off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, most people know their car. If you're down to a quarter tank and you know it's got a 15 gallon tank, you can normally put, you know, 10 gallons in it at that point. You know, if it stops at 4 gallons, it kicked off too early.
Right.
You know, maybe you just need to slow it down just a little bit, not hold it wide open, and let it fill. And then when it cuts off, you know, enough's enough. You know, let it be full. Yeah. You know, don't keep trying to click it and pop and get it topped all the way off. Yeah, because you can definitely do some damage.
Gentlemen, thank you for the little bit of advice for these folks that keep asking me all these crazy questions.
Yep.
Joe Ed, you're invited to dinner Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Yep.
Okay, where at? And
0600 or 1800 actually, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Post 88.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll get in touch with you, Tom, and we'll
do that.
Figure it out. Come on. I'll try my best to be there.
All right. We're gonna have some. We got some smoke busting butts and and some good food, brother man.
Yeah.
And I'll try not to talk too long.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great night.
Take care, Jarhead.
And simplify.
All right. Thank you, Jarhead. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break. We've got another caller on hold. If you'll just hang on, we'll get to you after the break. But we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Lawyer and illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey. Son, he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we do have a caller online. Caller, we're back with you. And
great. My question is about I've got an old Avery Dodge pickup with a slant six, straight six, and it's just using really a lot of oil. I've had a couple people tell me, well, that's just what they do.
Yeah.
When you
say a lot of oil, how much oil does it use?
Well, quart every couple hundred miles.
Yeah, there's something definitely going on there. You know, they should not be doing that. Let's put it that way. But, you know, the thing with using oil, how many miles do you have on it?
A little over 100. I can't remember. Not too much, really.
Yeah, that's really not bad at all for that year. I mean, that's actually low miles for that year.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and it's really hard to say for sure. You know, I would check PCV valves and stuff like that, make sure it's not stuck open and just sucking it out of the valve cover. You know, the problem with a motor that uses oil, it's kind of a compound thing because, okay, it starts burning oil, it's running through the cylinder, it starts building up on the valve, it starts building up on the piston and the rings, and then the rings start sticking it, and then it starts using more oil, which makes it worse. Then, you know, it's just a cycle that it just gets worse and worse. You know, one of the first things I'd probably have to do is pull the valve cover and look and see what the condition of the motor is inside. If it's not gummed up, I would probably venture to say that I would probably do a decarbon on the motor and replace valve seals and see what that did for it. Being an inline motor, you know, the intake, the V-series motors, especially on that older stuff, they had an issue with the intake gaskets would start sucking oil from the bottom side and pulling oil in that way. The inline sixes can't do that because the intake and exhaust manifold are mounted externally, and there's nowhere for them to pull oil like that. So really about the only other place it can get it from is either going to be rings, valve seals, or the ventilation system on the motor. So check your ventilation system well. Make sure that the PCV is working and not stuck wide open. You may want to pull the valve cover and look at the condition of the motor. If it's gummed up, there's really not a whole lot you can do with it, because when you try and clean it out, people make stuff that will remove slush from motors and all that kind of stuff. The problem with that stuff is it actually works, and it does remove all the sludge from the motor and put it in the oil pan to where it stops up the oil pump.
So
you cured your oil use problem by killing the motor. So you got to be real careful with that. But if it's reasonably clean inside, I'd be leaning more towards valve seals, along those lines.
Yep. I'm on that page.
If with that kind of age, and not that many miles, those motors were pretty tough.
Right.
I would lean more towards valve seals. They're probably dry and brittle and falling to pieces. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Set up for a long time. Okay. I'll take the cover off and give it a look. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, sir. All right.
That motor is, man, that thing's about bulletproof.
It's like the old 283 small block Chevrolets, and the 289 Fords.
Right.
All those engines that come out during the 50s and 60s along through there in the 70s.
Right.
Those old motors were tough.
Yeah.
And we abused them real bad during that time because we didn't know that much about the geometry and all of the interior of the motors except how to build them and all.
Right.
But with all the new fuel technology that we have now and the electronic technology with our timing, we've helped eliminate a lot of that problem. But
absolutely.
This guy could have run this thing hot at one time, or he could have had carburetor problems.
Yeah.
Washed your rings down on the cylinder walls. So
well, he said
I'm like
up.
You, though. I'd start with the valve stem seals.
Yeah, he said it set up for a good while, too.
Well,
so that's
probably
dried
the
them out.
If it dried them out and they cracked
yep.
before they got it cranked back up.
Yeah. But we do have another caller. Call you with us.
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Kevin.
Hey.
Mr. Claxton.
We got Rapid Ray with us.
Rapid Ray.
How you doing today, Ray?
Yes, sir. I have an update for you on my 99 GMC Safari.
All right, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, doctor was right.
Well.
It was the fuel pump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the clue was is you filled it up and it quit. That always happens.
I know you're always right. I advertise it to the audience,
There you go. There you go.
We appreciate your advice. Only thing is that it's not running any better than it was doing. I was thinking maybe I get better acceleration or anything like that. It's new fuel pump and new fuel filter.
No.
Is there anything I can do for future that help it to last? I got 117,000 original miles, but it's 23 years old.
Right. There's really not much you can do to help the fuel pump. It's either going to work or not. You want to keep fuel in the tank. If you run it low all the time, the pump, is cooled by the fuel in the tank. Having it submerged in fuel, helps that a lot. That's about the only thing you can do. If it's got, less than a quarter tank of gas in it or between a quarter and a half, that fuel pump should still be submerged. Any lower than a quarter tank and it's not submerged anymore. It's still working, but it's not being cooled quite like it should. I mean, it's still being cooled because it's drawing fuel through it. But it just keeps it cooler if it's
well. That's why they put it in the gas tank, so that it would. Yeah. That's an electric motor, and it keeps that gasoline is probably 20 degrees, 30 degrees cooler than the outside atmosphere.
Right.
So it's going to keep that motor cool down, and that's the longevity of it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you let it get the gas low in the tank, as Kevin was saying, then that motor's going to get hot, and it's not going to get hot too many times before it messes up.
Yep. But
I usually keep it between 3/4 and full.
Okay.
And
that's because you got so much money.
Consequently, it was completely full, and I lost like 10 gallons of gas when had to drop it. You know, they couldn't save it. It was just filled too much. You know, I mean, I didn't know it would go out on me, you know.
Right, right. And you don't.
If I
and that's
go back, I would not get gas. it's not as loud as the other one was. Was it some indication that it was going out?
Yeah.
Was louder?
And that was the thing, is it was starting to get loud, you know, because it was getting weak. But I've seen them run for years, you know, when they start getting a little noisy. So, I mean, it's not necessarily something that you want to just throw a pump at the first time you hear the pump running. So, you know, it's hard to say. But, hey, you know, you got 23 years out of it. If you get another 23 years out of this one, I think it'd be time to move
on.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Get a blue ribbon and put on it, baby. Make a champion out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I really appreciate it. Y'all have a great show. I listen to you every week. I don't call every week because I want to give other people chances. You know,
there you go.
Lots of audience. We all appreciate what you do.
And Rapid Ray, we appreciate what you do, and a lot of people are not aware of it, but Kevin and I are, and we appreciate you. You are doing an awesome service to this county.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, buddy. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
But, Ray's been a loyal listener forever.
Yeah. He goes way back with us. But, you know, I think he's still with Goodwill.
Yeah.
And he's one of the working executives over there, mm-hmm. warehouse supervisor or something. But he's in a management capacity.
Right.
And he's doing an awesome job for this city and all the people that they're working over there.
Well, and
it's
not
just
only,
unbelievable.
Yeah, not only do they, you know, provide a service for the community where you can buy products that are
right,
at a reduced
right.
amount, and you know things are donated. They're also putting handicapped people to work.
Well,
you know, doing what they can do, and you know it's a good place for them to be able to work. You know, because they can accommodate their needs,
right?
And you know, get them going. So. You know, everybody needs a purpose and needs to
hell,
be able to go
I might
and
need
go do
to
something.
Go in and get me a job.
I don't know if they can handle that kind of handicap.
I'm mentally challenged.
So
I'm challenged.
Yeah, that may be a challenge they may not be
up
to.
Oh, it's too far. I'm too far along on my challenge.
Maybe a little too much. I don't know. But anyway, it's they do a great service.
Well, you know, we brought up something there a while ago. And he was talking about the valve stem seals and all on the cylinder head. Mm-hmm. That's something that Competition Head Service can do over there on Butler Drive, mm-hmm. Dewey Miller. As if you do have one of those motors that, and you still, hey, that truck's probably still got another 100, 200,000 miles in the truck itself.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you could probably pull that motor out and rebuild the cylinder heads and vat it, clean it up, put some freeze plugs in it and the new rod bearings, main bearings, and put it all back together and get another 150, 200,000 out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely a doable thing. You know, if I had one that I know the motor was with that truck from day one and I know what's wrong with it,
right.
I would rather rebuild that one than to get buy another one that was rebuilt because you're not going to get a new one.
Well, even, you know, even if you got $1,500, $2,000 or so in it, just rebuild that little six-cylinder,
right.
It ain't like buying a damn $50,000 truck, man. Come on.
Right.
I see used trucks sitting on a lot down at Lakeside Drive and Go Boulevard. It's from $50,000 to $70,000.
Right.
Used trucks. I'm going like, hello? Right. That looks like a house to me. You know, back in the day, you could have bought a mansion for that.
You know, and I hate to mention it because I do work for a car.
I know, but I'm not bad-mouthing them. You know, they are selling new products.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, what the market is
right now.
You know, we're having to pay way more than what we normally would.
And it's going to get worse.
And it gets passed on. I mean, it's you have to if you're going to keep the doors open. You know, we're actually, I can name several instances where, you know, we bought vehicles back after a year or so and gave them back exactly what they paid for it when they bought it new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So guess what? It's going to be more than it was when it was new.
Yeah, yeah.
When you can get it ready and get it out on the front line. So,
well, it's the same thing with the homes, you know.
Yeah.
Look at what your home was worth 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then get an estimate on it now and see what it's worth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's home values. My son just bought a house in Texas, and it was like man, I can't believe you had to pay that for that house. You know, it's, yeah. I mean, I know what I paid for mine. Of course, that's been 18 years ago now. And I know what I've got, and I know what he just bought.
Right.
And we paid about the same price.
Really?
So, okay. You know, so it's, but I mean, that was what you had to pay for it. Cause if you wanted a house, that was,
well, that's it. You know, and here you go again. It has to do with supply and demand and inventory.
Right.
The inventory for new vehicles is down because here we go. We're back to the chip deal and all, and they can't produce all of these vehicles and get them to the market. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, our inventory is down. The same thing is happening to our homes and houses and apartments and all. The inventory is down. Mm-hmm. Price goes up.
Yeah, you know? And even though they're, like around here, they're building houses, but they can't get all the materials and the help to get them built.
Yeah, can't get the wood to do it, man.
Yep, absolutely. Or you can't afford it once you can't find it.
I want you to know it, yeah. So,
anyway, we're going to take a break and thank God we're not building our cars out of wood.
But
the price of it would be way more expensive.
Give me some 2x4 tires.
So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Because, darling, I'm a truck-driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee, 'cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox and play the song the truck drives.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us text 343-0106. But we're just sitting around talking about sponsors and our new sponsor, Competition Head Service, Dewey Miller on Butler Drive.
They do
right
it.
Right off of Government Boulevard.
Esquire Limited.
251-666-7187. 7187. Yep. But been doing machine work over there, building motors and race motors and street motors.
Ooh.
And big diesel motors. And
yes.
Yeah. Known him to build an aircraft motor and
oh yes,
and all that
oh,
kind
yes.
of stuff. Hey, probably wasn't supposed to, but I think you know that's
well,
a different story.
Well, I think he wound up getting FAA certified,
get certification.
Yeah,
to do
certification
it,
so. To do that. I think it was Proud Mary. Mm. Wasn't that a B-17 bomber or something
like that?
That?
I remember it was kind of odd to see one sitting off of Government Boulevard back then.
I know
for a while,
but he refurbished that thing, man, and got it going.
Sure did.
Sucker
sure
can do anything.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
but he's one of the last of the full service machine shops in town.
Mm-hmm.
From just doing a regular valve job to, you know, how many people turn brake drums now?
Right.
You know, and how many people still do flywheels and resurface mm-hmm. flywheels and or Magnaflux or crankshaft?
Right.
Maggot, right. as they call it, maggot. You know. To see if it's got a hairline crack or anything in it, and you know, balanced motors.
And you know some of the dealers have kind of gone way of you know a package rebuilt motor from the manufacturer, and even our new stuff. If we have a problem, it's either replace it with a whole motor or replace components in it, which we can do, you know, without the machine shop. But you know, it used to be, I mean, you had the machine shop at the dealership almost daily.
I had a regular route that ran this. Yep. Just the 12 machine shops that, you know, we were doing business for, you know?
Right. But, you know, it's, you know, times have changed for sure. And a lot of that's the equipment's better. You know, your head's better, and it's designed for the fuel we're running and the fuel injection and the ignition systems and all that.
Good subject.
Good
subject. I'm glad you brought that up.
Correcting that, you know.
Fuel.
Yeah.
I see Biden just said that we're going to get some 115 ethanol.
Yeah, E15.
What years did that start? Did I hear 2001?
I don't remember. I know E10 is what we have now.
Right.
You know, everything's pretty much 10% ethanol.
Right.
Okay. Most of your fuel injected cars of the last 20 years are good.
Right.
Good to go. Your fuel injected cars that are a little bit older than that will probably handle it pretty decent, mm-hmm. you know.
Don't put it in a vehicle that's got a carburetor on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you put one, put it in a carbureted vehicle, you're probably going to have to do some tuning to make it run right. You know, it's going to have to be tuned accordingly. Now, I have no problem with ethanol in the fuel, especially if you're starting to do hot rod stuff. The E85 is the way to go if you're boosting a motor and building hot rod stuff, because you can throw compression to it.
You can throw boost
to them, and it loves it.
Yeah, okay? But we don't have that in our street cars.
Right. But you're burning way more of it.
Right.
So
that was another area that I was going to touch on.
You know, you're going to drop again on your fuel mileage. Because
they're going to give us 8 or 10 cents a gallon cheaper to run to 15 rather than the 10, but then you're going to lose a couple of miles per gallon on your performance of the vehicle.
And, you know, and what doesn't make any sense whatsoever is they're raising the CAFE rating that you got to meet, and then they're changing the gas fuel to make it harder to get there.
I know, and make it worse, make it get worse gas mileage. Come on.
Right.
They don't give us a break, man.
No. You know, they keep moving that carrot, what they're doing, but it's, manufacturers don't have a choice. So that's what's pushing them towards doing the electric thing is because they've got to build X number of electric vehicles so they can build the gas burning trucks and that don't get 40 something miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep the public happy with what they're driving. Not everybody wants a battery powered car or truck.
So, no.
But you're probably going to have to learn how to live with it here somewhere down the road.
I thought it was pretty good. I saw a little deal on the internet today when I was buzzing through there, and it showed. And it says, would you rather have this? And it showed a pipeline, a big piece of 18-inch, 20-inch diameter pipe going down through the woods and trees all going around it. Mm-hmm. And it says, or this for the lithium that they're trying to find. And it showed 1,000 acres of total devastation of pit, strip mining. And it's down about, 300 or 400 feet deep.
Right.
And they've destroyed every damn thing in it and around it, But come on. I don't think somebody's missing the boat here somewhere.
Well, some people are listening to the wrong folks as to what's the right way to go. But, I understand emissions.
I don't think Hillary thought too much about it when she sold that big lithium mine in Wyoming or Colorado over there where it was to put Putin. Until they made a donation of $154 million to the Clinton Foundation,
Yeah, but there wasn't no collusion going on. It's all right, though.
Oh, hell no. That was a cool move, baby.
Yeah, as long as there ain't no collusion, we're good.
They got $154 million. I think Biden's son was handling that deal for him. Ooh, baby, get out of here.
It's a good thing this isn't a political show, or we might get into some of that kind of stuff. But,
I've been known to voice my opinion.
Yeah. there's a lot we don't know about the batteries and what's going to happen to the batteries down the road. What it takes to really mine the materials to build the batteries. And I'm sure the technology will come along, leap years from where it is right now. Maybe they'll come across something that is a lot more environmentally friendly.
I hope that they do.
Because that's the only way it's going to make sense. Yeah.
Even the charging stations they're putting out there now, I don't know how many billions of dollars that Biden has released for that.
Mm-hmm.
But those charging stations, each one of them has cost anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 to $18,000 before it's hooked up on whatever site that they're doing.
Yeah. And they got the big diesel generator running in the back over there to power them up so they can charge. But
you're not supposed to see that part.
It's
supposed to be a sinker.
If you're putting it out in the middle of nowhere, you're going to have to power it somehow.
Yeah. Well, they're going to put a bunch of them over at Tesla. I think they got a bunch of them they're going to put over at Bucky's.
Yeah.
But, I'm thinking about Bucky's, Bucky's ain't got no seats. If you want to sit down in Bucky's, you got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Because they don't have a seat. They don't have a chair. They don't have a stool. Mm-hmm. They don't have nothing, buddy. They want you to keep moving.
Right, right.
So how are you going to keep moving for 2 hours while your little car be charging up?
Well, yeah.
I guess you take your damn newspaper when you go to the bathroom, prop up on the damn commode, you know.
Yeah.
So wake me up when my car gets charged now.
Yeah, and they got people behind you waiting on you.
I know, and lining up trying to get into the room, you know. Yeah. Hey, man, ain't you through yet?
Yeah.
Now my car ain't charged up, baby.
Right.
Got to wait on my car to get charged up, man.
So there's challenges there. And there's companies that are trying to make a fast change battery system that you can roll in about 15 minutes, roll back out with a new battery in the car.
That's already charged. Do that damn paperwork.
Well, and that's kind of our deal is, you know, the quickest we're doing them is it takes about half a day, you know, at least to change one out. And there's all kind of paperwork and you're tracking numbers and all this kind of stuff. It's a whole different deal. But anyway, time for us to get out of here tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And I will definitely be back next week.
There you go, buddy. And to all of our veterans and first responders, thank you for your service, brothers and sisters. Hurrah.